Amen. Well, you can pray. And let me just mention to you that right now, even as I begin to preach, there are some folks that have gathered for prayer in my office, and they're praying for me as I preach, and they're praying for you as you listen, and they're praying for us as we worship. And I'm actually looking for a few more prayer warriors who would be willing to take, say, one Sunday every 6 weeks or so and meet and pray during the worship service. And if you could do that, I'm going to have you sign up some way, and I hadn't figured that out yet. If you have your Bibles, open them with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to share Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 again with you this morning as we preach. I want to talk to you this morning about being shaped for ministry. You know, everybody comes in all different shapes and sizes. All we've got to do is look around and we'll see that God didn't create all of us exactly the same. He made us all different. And thank God that He did that, because that really is what makes the world go around. I am so grateful that not everybody is like me. What a terrible place this world would be if everybody was like me. But you know what? I'm also grateful that not everybody is like you as well, because it takes all of us, and we come in all shapes and sizes to make this world go around. But you know, God is the one who did that. In the book of Psalms 139, David wrote these words. He says, "I praise you," and he's talking about the Lord. He says, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." And what we come to understand from that passage of Scripture, or the picture we get, is God kind of sitting there with His knitting needles, and He is busily at work, and He's fashioning men and women for Himself. You were knit together in your mother's womb. It was God who did it, and He created you for a purpose. Now, the question is, what is that purpose? We've all been created for a purpose. And then the Scripture says not only that, but we have been saved for a purpose as well. And that's what that verse in Ephesians 2:10 says. I want to share it again with you this week. I know last week I preached on this verse, and you might think, well, there's nothing else there. But there is. Look at it again with me in Ephesians 2, verse 10. "For we are God's workmanship." Remember, that word workmanship means masterpiece. It's an artistic creation, an artistic masterpiece. Now, the Apostle Paul is talking about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a child of God. This is what happened. "You were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live or walk around in. But now," he says, "in Christ Jesus, you've been saved, you've been redeemed, you've been cleansed. And now this is what it means. You are God's creative masterpiece," he says, "created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." And those good works that he's talking about there are works of ministry, acts of ministry, that is, service to Him. Why did God save you? He saved you for a specific purpose and reason. He saved you to serve Him, to minister. Now, let me just define ministry for you again. Here's the definition. Ministry is any act of service to God or people that builds the kingdom of God. Now, you understand that there's a lot of different things that could fit in there. Prayer ministry could fit in there. Preaching ministry could fit in there. Visitation ministry could fit in there. Service ministry, where you help somebody out. Just a minute ago, there were a couple of guys up there helping me with the baptism. Those guys are involved in ministry. Any act of service to God or people that builds the kingdom of God, and that is the key, that builds the kingdom of God, is defined as ministry. Now, some of us are sitting here this morning saying, "Well, Brother Greg, I know that you're a minister. You know, you're a preacher. You get up there and preach. I can't preach. And so I really don't know of anything that I can do for the Lord." Well, this morning, what I want to do is show you that you have been fearfully and wonderfully made, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, that God has uniquely shaped you for ministry, for particular and specific ministry that He wants you to do to build the kingdom of God. And I want you to see this morning that you are a vital piece of the puzzle, that you have been placed within this congregation, not by accident, but by God Himself, who knew exactly what He was doing when He brought us together, because He has all of this ministry to do, and He shapes us and He puts us together so that we can serve Him right here in the body of Christ. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning, how you are shaped for ministry. And what I'm going to do is use the acrostic S-H-A-P-E, shape. And I'm going to talk to you about your shape for ministry. Now, I want you to know that this is not this acrostic shape and these things I'm going to share with you are not unique to me. I did not come up with these. A guy by the name of Rick Warren was the first one who articulated these in a book called Purpose Driven Life. And then a guy by the name of Eric Rees, who is his who's on staff at the church that Rick Warren pastors, he wrote a book called Shape. And a lot of these things this acrostic I'm going to be sharing with you actually comes from those guys, but it fits. It is real, and that's what I want you to get this morning. I've placed in your bulletin also a note sheet, and I would encourage you maybe to write these things down and put them on your refrigerator or carry them with you in your Bible to remind you how God has shaped you so that each one of us might find the ministry that God has called us to. S-H-A-P-E. Each letter stands for something. The S stands for spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. God shapes us for ministry by giving us spiritual gifts. Now, you say, well, Brother Greg, do I have a spiritual gift? Yes. You have at least one. Every Christian, and this morning I'm talking to Christians. If you're sitting here this morning and you're not a Christian, I'm going to get to you here in just a minute. But right now, I want to talk to Christians. You've been shaped by God, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And what God has done to start that off is He has come into your life and He has placed a spiritual gift there. At least one. Every Christian has at least one. What happens when you open your heart to God and Jesus comes into your life and cleanses you of your sin and saves you? The Holy Spirit comes as a seal, a guarantee that what God began, He's going to finish in your life. That salvation is going to be complete until the day of Christ Jesus. But what the Holy Spirit also does is He brings gifts. Now, a spiritual gift is something that God plants within us to allow us to use to serve Him. If you're not sure if you have a spiritual gift, just listen to these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. The Apostle Paul said, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Now look at that. He said to each one. He's talking to each member, each child of God, each part of the body of Christ. To each one, he says, the manifestation of the Spirit, that is the gift of the Spirit of God, is given for the common good. Now very important to understand. A spiritual gift is something that God does in your life to enable you to serve Him, and it is always to build up the body of Christ. In fact, if I were to define a spiritual gift, I would define it kind of like this. It is a God-given special ability that allows you to share God's love while strengthening the body. Now notice this. It comes from God, and it is used by you, each one of us, to share God's love, and in that it strengthens the body of Christ. Every spiritual gift is given to build up the body. If it does not build up the body, it's not a spiritual gift. Let me just give you an illustration. We have some friends who are Christians. I don't have any doubt about that. Sometimes they go by the name of Pentecostals. Sometimes we call them other things. There are folks who sometimes they call themselves full gospel. And what they mean by that is that they've got it all. They've got the baptism of the Spirit and all the gifts of the Spirit. The only problem is the main focus tends to be on a on kind of a novelty gift that I would call, and it's speaking in tongues. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you have some friends, and they have said to you, perhaps, I've been told that I really don't have the full measure of the Spirit of God until I've spoken in tongues, and I have that spiritual gift. There's only two problems with that. Number one, it's not biblical. The Bible never says that if you don't have the gift of speaking in tongues, then you don't have the full Spirit of God. The Bible doesn't say that. Secondly, if it is a spiritual gift, it will always build up the body of Christ. If anything brings division into the body, let me just say this. If it brings division into the body, it is not of God and is not of the Holy Spirit of God. And I'll be honest with you, I have seen the so-called gift of speaking in tongues, ecstatic utterance, I have seen that divide more churches than anything else. And if it divides a church, if it brings division into the body, I'll just tell you this, it is not of God. What God puts into our life as gifts, He uses then to strengthen and build up the body. And if it is not being used by Him to build up the body, then it is not a spiritual gift. It might be something else, but it does not come from God. You say, well, all right, Brother Greg, what are the spiritual gifts? Well, there are several places in Scripture that where several of the ones are delineated. Some, you'll find a list in Romans 12. You'll find another list in 1 Corinthians 12. You can turn the pages in your Bible to Ephesians 4, and you'll find a brief list there. You put them all together, there's about 13 to 18 different gifts that are listed there. My personal opinion is that is not an exhaustive list of the spiritual gifts, that God is able to do a lot of different things within us in a supernatural way to use us to serve people, to share His love, and to build up the body of Christ. The key is find your gift and use it. Let me just give you a couple of examples of what a gift might look like. First of all, I believe that there is a gift of faith. And I don't mean the kind of faith the size of a mustard seed to move a mountain. That's tremendous faith. That type of faith will save you. I'm talking about God has placed within some people an extraordinary amount of faith to believe Him in a supernatural way for things that that the rest of us look at and say that's crazy. For example, we need about $250,000 to put a roof on this thing. It is absolutely insane for us to think that we can just get all that money and we can pay for it and not have to borrow money. Do you know there are people in this church that believe that God can do that without the church having to go into debt? They believe that. And you know what? We need men and women of faith who will stand up in the body and speak words of faith. I believe that extraordinary faith is a spiritual gift. Let me give you another example. Giving. Giving is a spiritual gift. And I'm not saying this just because we're trying to raise some money for the roof. But let me tell you, when I say giving is a spiritual gift, I'm not talking about tithing. Every child of God ought to be a tither. If you are not tithing, I want you to understand something. You are robbing from God. It's almost like you're just putting a gun to God's head and saying, God, I'll take that and I'm not going to give you any. Now, that's not what I say. That's what Malachi chapter 3 says. Malachi chapter 3 says, you rob God. And you say, well, why, how do we rob you, God? And God says, you rob me in your tithes and offerings. When a child of God does not or refuses to tithe, they're basically saying, God, you're not going to get any of this back. I'm going to take it. I'm going to keep it to myself. Now, you need to understand something. God has blessed each one of us. This is a spiritual truth, I'm telling you. God has blessed each one of us in a way that we give the first 10% to Him. And some of us think, well, you know, we can't make ends meet right now. There's no way we can do that. I guarantee you, if you will prove Him, test Him, try Him, if you will test the Lord, and there are people here this morning that give testimony of just trusting God with their tithe, and then God just opens the floodgates of heaven and He is able to bless us when we're obedient to Him. When we refuse to tithe, when we say, no, God, I'm going to keep it for myself, what we're actually doing is we are shutting off the blessing of God from our life, and not only that, we're inviting the curse of God upon us. If you don't believe me, just this afternoon when you get home, read Malachi chapter 3. That's what it says. It says you are under a curse. Why? Because of your tithes and offerings. You withhold those from me. Now, folks, again, this isn't what Brother Greg says. This is what God's Word says. So when I talk about giving, I'm not talking about tithing. Every child of God, every believer ought to be a tither because God's Word says it. What I'm talking about is giving above and beyond the tithe. You know that some people have been just given the gift of money. I don't personally have that gift. But some people, doesn't matter what they do, you know, the money just comes pouring in. And what they're able to do then is to give back to God. One example of this is a man by the name of R.K. Letourneau. You may have heard that name. There's a college named after him. He's done a lot of different stuff. Mr. Letourneau was well known for giving 90 to 95% of all of his income back to God. And he made a lot of money. He gave a lot of money away. Somebody asked him one time, how is it that you're able to give so much money to God? And he says, well, I just shovel it out and God shovels it in and God's got a bigger shovel than I do. And you know what? I personally believe that there is a spiritual gift that God gives to some people just to give in extraordinary ways to Him. And when that happens, the body of Christ is built up and it is blessed. Now, brothers and sisters, you might not have the gift of faith. You might not have the spiritual gift of giving. Maybe it's some other spiritual gift. Maybe you're saying, well, Brother Greg, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. I'm not even sure if I have one. Let me tell you where you can go to help you find your spiritual gift. On our website, www.fbcbrazoria.org. If you go to that web page, you're going to see some cows there holding up a sign that says, Meet More People, Church Outside the Walls. Directly under that, there is a link to a spiritual gift inventory. If you're not sure what your spiritual gift is, I would encourage you to go to our website. We also have, I believe out here in the back, if we don't, we will have some available, the opportunity to go through a spiritual gift inventory to determine what your spiritual gift is. Now, here's the key. Finding your spiritual gift, whatever it is, and thank God we don't all have the same spiritual gift. He gives to each one as He desires so that he can do what he wants to do in the body of Christ. None of us all have the same spiritual gifts. We're unique. That's our shape. Here's the key. Find your spiritual gift and then open it and use it. My grandmother, my dad's mother, my grandmother, we call Big Mama. And for several different reasons. We call her Big Mama, not necessarily because she was just a big woman physically, but she was big mentally and spiritually. And when she was in the room, or when you walked into her house, there was no doubt who was in charge there. But anyway, Big Mama was a great cook. I can still smell the smells of her cooking in her house. You just walk into her house, and she was the best cook. One of the best cooks, I suppose, I've ever known. And I'm not biased just because she's my grandmother. But anyway, one of my favorite meals at her house was breakfast. You'd go in there and she'd have bacon and eggs and sausage and everything. And all the grease from the bacon and the sausage she'd put in a little jar and then she'd use it the rest of the day to season everything else that she cooked. And it was great. It was very fattening and I'm sure, you know, my arteries are all clogged up and everything because of that stuff. But it was great. But anyway, at breakfast time, Big Mama would make toast almost every breakfast. And the way she made toast is she would slather butter on a piece of bread and she would stick it down in her broiler in her oven. She'd have her oven going and she'd stick it down in the broiler. Many of you might make toast that same way. And so the butter would melt and then the toast would toast a little bit. She'd get it out. You'd put some of her homemade jam and jelly on it and it was just great. Wow. Anyway, wait, what was I saying? I almost forgot. Anyway, sometimes, especially as she got a little bit older, she would forget and leave the bread in there and it would burn. And so one Christmas, one of the cousins decided to give Big Mama one of those newfangled toasters. You know the kind I'm talking about where you put the slices of bread in the top and you push the little button down and then they go down and the things come on the side and they toast the bread on both sides and then it pops up. Anybody ever heard anything like that? It's an amazing, these newfangled stuff. Well, anyway, this cousin gave Big Mama one of these toasters, and she was so proud, so excited about it. She hugged this cousin, loved it and everything. And then, you know, Christmas was over, and a couple of months later, I was in Big Mama's house, went down for breakfast, And she took a piece of toast, slathered some butter on it, stuck it in her broiler, and she toasted it. And I said, Big Mama, where's your toaster? I mean, how come you're not using your toaster? And she said, well, this is the way I toast my bread. And I said, well, where is your toaster? And she said, it's right there in the closet. And so I went, sure enough, opened the closet, and there, sitting in the top of the closet, was the box with the toaster in it, had never been opened. She loved that gift, loved the giver, but there, that's not the way she made toast. And so she just stuck that gift up on her shelf, and after she died, my aunts went in there and cleaned out her house. There on that shelf in her closet was that toaster, that gift that she had loved so much, and yet she had never taken out and used. Brothers and sisters, many of us are just like my Big Mama. We've got these spiritual gifts that God has given us, and we love the giver and we love the gift. We've just never taken the gift out and used it. And what I'm saying to you today is, you have been gifted by God to serve Him in a special way. Take your gift out. Here's a question that you might ask yourself. What has God gifted me to do? What am I gifted in a supernatural way that when I use this gift, the church is blessed? That's S, spiritual gifts. Now, I've got to go real fast through H-A-P-E. I really wanted to nail that one home, so hold on to S, spiritual gifts, and here we go. H stands for heart or passion. Heart or passion. That is what you love to do. In Scripture, the heart is the seat of our emotions. It's that part of us that is the authentic person. Everything in our lives come out of our heart is what the Bible says. And when you have a heart for something, you're just going to give everything you have for that. Man, you're just going to go all out. And when you do that, you're going to get so much joy out of that. At Calvary in Denison, there's a man by the name of Bob Salyer. Brother Bob Salyer doesn't come to church much because every Sunday morning he is down in the jail, in the city jail, and he's telling the inmates down there, those that came in on Saturday night, he's telling them about Jesus and leading them to Christ. Brother Bob has a passion for jail ministry. He's often told me, Brother Greg, if I die in jail, I will die happy. I mean, he just can't wait for his time to go down to that jail to share Christ with those folks. That is his passion. That is his love. When God puts a love in your heart for something, you can use that for ministry, and he intends for you to do that. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, 23 and 24. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. It's working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward, it is the Lord Christ you're serving. So here's the question you ask yourself. Now, we're determining our shape. Remember, your heart or passion is not going to be your entire shape, but it's going to be part of your shape. Here's the question. What do I love to do? And when you find what you love to do, you just do it. Get after it. When you start, that's a good place to start. When you start with your love, God will use that and He'll show you how He's going to use you in ministry. S is for spiritual gifts. H is for heart. A is for abilities. And what I'm talking about here are natural abilities. These are different from spiritual gifts. These are natural talents, things that you do, that maybe you do well. These alone don't shape you for ministry. But again, this is a good place to start. Find something you're good at and just start using it for the Lord. For example, if you can sing, then get in the choir and start singing and use that for the Lord. Now, just because you can sing well doesn't mean that God is going to use you in the music ministry. Certainly, if you can't sing well, probably He's not going to use you in the music ministry. But that doesn't always hold true. You might say, well, I don't talk very good, so God must not be going to use me as a preacher. You know, that was my excuse for a number of years. I don't talk very good. I really don't. And I don't really get up in front of people very well and present myself very well. It's just not part of me. And I thought God could never use me as a preacher, even though I thought He was calling me to do that. Well, what happened was, once I started working and serving Him, then the Lord showed me that He would do this through me, and it really is all of Him. And so what I'm saying is find your abilities and begin using them. And even those things you think might not be abilities for you, God can work in your life. Right? Here's the question you need to ask yourself. Where do I naturally excel? Find what you excel at. If it's just typewriting, if you can type 100 words a minute, start using that for Jesus some way, and God will bless you, and then you'll find your ministry. S is spiritual gifts. H is heart. A is abilities. P is personality. Now, just the way, or in the same way that God gave each one of us abilities and talents, He also gave us personalities. We all have different personalities, although there are some basic personality traits. And God will use our personalities in our ministry. In fact, your personality will help shape your ministry. If you don't meet people well, if you can't talk to folks, it might be that God's not going to use you in door-to-door visitation, but He might use you in writing notes of encouragement, you see? That's one way that God uses our personality. He might change our personality to how He wants to use us, but our personalities shape us for ministry. I've heard it said that there are four basic personalities, and they go something like this. There's popular, powerful, perfect, and peaceful. There's some people that are just popular and they don't have any problem meeting people. There are other folks who have a powerful personality. You know, when they go in there, they're type A, they like to take charge. There are other folks who are perfect, or they want things to be perfect, and so they're perfectionists. There are other folks who are just peaceful. You know, they just get along. All these different personalities. And what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter what your personality is. God has given you one, and God will use that if you'll allow Him to. This does not completely shape your ministry, but it will be used by God in your ministry shape. So here's the question you ask yourself. What ministry fits my personality type? If I look at what I am, what type of ministry will fit who and what I am? S is for spiritual gifts, H is for heart, A abilities, P personality, and the E of shape is experiences. Experiences. Our lives are filled with experiences. All kinds of experiences. Good experiences, bad experiences, spiritual experiences in which we've met God and we've had a powerful experience with Him. Painful experiences in which we've gone through hurtful or hard times. Some of us this morning have walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And God has taken you through that valley and He's carried you through. There are work experiences, there are family experiences. And what God wants to do as He shapes us with them is He wants us to use those to minister to people. For example, as I mentioned a moment ago, some of you have walked through the valley of the shadow of death, either because a spouse died or because you lost a child perhaps. And you know there are other people who are going through that right now, who are walking through that valley right now, that you in particular could come alongside and minister to and help. Let me just share a verse of Scripture with you that just shows you how these things work out. It's Romans 8:28. And many of you know this verse. It says, we know that in all things. Did you catch that? All things. We know that in all things, good things, bad things, hard things, all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. You understand that what God does is He takes the experiences of our lives, all of them, good, bad, indifferent, whatever, and He uses them to mold us and to shape us for His purposes and for His ministry. The key is God works. Here's the question you might ask yourself. What experiences have I had that God might use to serve Him? S is for spiritual gifts. H is for heart. A is abilities. P is personality. E, experiences. None of these things alone will determine our ministry. So what God has done is He has created us in Christ Jesus, and He brings all of these things to bear in our lives to shape us for the ministry that He has given us. Let me just give you one more verse to remind you what all of this means. It's in Philippians chapter 1. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the apostle writes, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, do you understand we've been created in Christ for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And then the Scripture says, and we are confident of this one thing, that He who began this good work will finish it and complete it within us. Is he talking about our salvation? Certainly. Is he talking about our ministry? Yes. Brothers and sisters, every child of God, every one of us are created by Him to serve Him, and we have been shaped for ministry. And each one of us fit into the puzzle. You were handed a piece of puzzle as you walked in this morning. I want to show you a picture up here right now. It's a picture of our church. And what we've done is we've taken a picture of our church and we've actually made it into a puzzle. And you have a piece of that puzzle because you are a piece of the puzzle of First Baptist Church, Brazoria. And you're an important piece. And I want you to keep this piece of puzzle to remind you that you fit into the ministry of this church. I want you to notice that some of the pieces are missing there. When a piece is missing, then the church is incomplete. That is, if you are not fulfilling your purpose in the church is incomplete. And I want you to keep this puzzle piece as a reminder that you are uniquely shaped to fit into the puzzle of First Baptist Church. I also want to tell you this, and here's my challenge to you. On May the 18th, right here at the church, over in the Fellowship Hall, we're going to have something called a ministry fair in which we've identified about 40 different ministries that our church does. And each one of those ministries are going to be set up. I want to encourage you to be here from 4 to 6 o'clock, May the 18th, to come and check out the different ministries. And if you're not sure where you fit in, maybe you will find a place that you'll fit in right there. I want you to bring your puzzle piece on that evening, and we're going to put this puzzle together. Now, it occurs to me that some of us might say, well, no, I'm not going to do that. Then your puzzle piece is going to be missing, and the church is going to be incomplete. May the 18th, from 4 to 6 o'clock, the ministry fair right here at First Baptist Church. Where do you fit in to the ministry of the church? Pray with me. Father God, I thank You that You did not just save us and throw us out there and leave us on our own. God, that You don't just save us and then stick us in a backwater somewhere where we just waste our lives. But God, You have saved us and created us in Christ Jesus for this work of ministry. God, I pray that You would help each one of us today, Lord, to find our place of ministry here in the church. You've put us together for a purpose. Oh God, remind us that it really is all about You and what You're doing in us, to us, and through us. God, help us today as we, Lord, as we just find our shape and Lord, we do it in Christ, in the name and the power of Christ. And I bless Your name today. In Jesus' name, amen.